to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer, Joe Metz, and Zach Graham.
Presented by the FTN Network.
Bringing you the analysis you need on breaking news, betting markets, and your fantasy lineups.
What is going on, everybody? Tuesday night, March 22nd. I am Joe Metz, co-host of the FTN NBA Podcast, joined as always by my fellow co-host, one of my good friends, Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kawhisenberg DFS, and we're live. We are live streaming on Twitter right now for a nighttime episode of the FTN NBA Podcast, episode 33. Going to talk some underdog updates as today is the second official day of the best ball finals. We have the FTN Listener League update, and Zach said that he has some riveting would you rather questions to present to me today. Adam may come by later, had some things come up. If he does, great. If not, we will truck on without Uncle Rico. Zach, before we kick it off, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Nice little four-game slate tonight. So nothing too crazy. I know I think we've got 11 games tomorrow, so these Wednesdays have been really heavy slates the last like 3 weeks, but looking forward to that tomorrow. But not going to get ahead of myself. Tuesday nights are for the pod, and it's one of my favorite nights of the week, so I'm excited to be here, man.
You look a little nervous today, and I can assume why. So you were pretty disappointed with the number of teams that you got into the second round of the best ball semifinals.
Yeah.
You now, between you, me, and Stefano, are the only person with a team left in the finals.
Last
so
one
talk
standing.
To us about this team. It's was it 53 or 58 man?
Yeah, lobby, 58 man final.
And 50K up top. So talk to us about, one, how you thought you were dead in the water and you woke up. Contrary to what you thought, and then just walk us through the team and what you think.
Yeah, so obviously we did almost 3 months of drafts on this pod feed. We did some live streams, etc. Mm-hmm. We were doing some drafts with the FTN NBA premium subscribers, just kind of randomly throughout August and September, and all three of us got 150 teams in there. There was some pretty significant overlay in this tournament when all was said and done. But yeah, so 150 teams, I think you and Steph had mid 40s left in round two, right? I was down to, I think, 23. And then I made four into the semifinal round. Round three, I think you had seven and Steph had
seven. Yes.
Steph had five, six, seven, something around there. And yeah, man, I mean, from the start, right, this season, like, I think I was the heaviest on Pat Williams, but we all had a lot of shares. So he goes down.
Yeah.
Fifth game of the season. I had like 38% Patrick Williams. I'm like, all right, there's a lot of my depth gone. I had a lot of Killian Hayes because we were targeting Pistons and Rockets just based on the schedule for rounds three and four. So that hasn't gone great or didn't go great throughout the season. Precious Achiuwa, I think, was my highest owned player. Beef Stew was my second highest owned player. So somehow, again, getting those four teams through, we were looking Sunday night at the results or what we thought were the results, right? And I had one team that in those second and third round leagues were 18 teamers, whereas the preliminary round all season there were 12 teams.
Yep.
I had one of my four, three of them were completely not in contention in their leagues. I had one that ended up finishing second on Sunday night. I finished like 4 points short. I was like, what are you going to do? Valiant effort on the season. We'll come back next year. Wake up on Monday, stat correction. I'm in the final. So currently right now, sitting in 38th out of 50, I think, and this is a 2 week final. So, let me pull up the schedule here. If my information tab works, and this is riveting, especially for the podcast listeners. let's see. There's a prize breakdown. It's not giving me the actual dates here, but I think it's Monday to next Sunday, which would be like April 3rd or something like that.
Yes, so, April 3rd is the last day.
So it's a long way to go here. This is only night two, but sitting in 38th place, I think I'm about 50 points off first right now. looks like about 65 points off first. But the guards who are going to come into play, we can leave Trey Murphy out of it. 16th round pick for this team, I assume. Trey Young, DJ Murray, Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, Cole Anthony. So some really good depth, in my opinion, at guard, especially with the way Jalen Green has been increasing his fantasy output lately. Yep. The fact that I think he's my only Rocket or Piston on this team. So he's going to have the most games in this round. Wings, Jalen Brown, Pascal Siakam, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Giddey, who I think is supposed to come back.
I thought they were going to shut him down. Which, yeah. Speaking of your wings, I think Kyle Kuzma, the combination of Kyle Kuzma and Scotty Barnes were two players that really carried my teams come round two. You know, after the trade deadline, Kyle Kuzma, before Porzingis came back, was just putting up gaudy yeah. stat lines, like a triple-double, like these 35 and 15 games. So he's probably going to be on quite a few of those 58 teams, I assume.
I would think so. Also got, like I mentioned, Precious Achiuwa. Not surprising here with how many shares I got of him. He was free for the longest time, you know, 15th, 16th round. And then Isaiah Roby, who both in best ball and DFS has really let me down over the last couple weeks.
I don't want to talk about him on DraftKings at all.
Yeah. I mean, when Olivier Saar is getting the start over you, like, I know that the Thunder are still doing their Presti tank thing, but like, I don't think you have to tank that hard. Anyways, then Jordan Nwora is out there as well. But then the anchor here, Joel Embiid at my center spot with the Time Lord Robert Williams and Mason Plumlee. So, glad that Embiid's going to get back out there tomorrow, not on the injury report. So I hope that's the only game that he takes off in this 2 week stretch here. So fingers crossed. I'm just glad to have one in there and be representing the FTN NBA podcast out of our 450 lineups. That's some quick math right there, Joe.
Yeah, very quick math. Was this the first year Underdog ran? I believe this was the first year they ran the basketball.
I think it's the second because the tournament is called Small Ball 2.
Yep.
Then it was the first year I participated on Underdog.
But I would like to, like, I profited off of the entries. So I take that as a win. I assume Stefano did too with how well he did. So I think the fact that we got nearly over 100 teams into the semifinals second round, is very impressive. A couple strategies backfired in our face. Zion certainly backfired on us. Anthony Davis and Paul George; those were three guys. So you could get at the back end of the first round.
That was my most popular stack. First round, second round was
mine. Was Anthony Davis and Paul George? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So that did not work out. But then, like my most rostered player was Scottie Barnes, who has been phenomenal. Tyrese Maxey helped out a lot.
Especially in the playoffs, yeah.
Yep. Cole Anthony was one of Steph's top rostered players who he was almost free because people expected Marco Fultz to come back way quicker. Mm-hmm. So we did very well. Two of us have not shipped to 50K. We're holding out hope for you. Really excited to run it back next year. Because now I'm already itching. I'm like, all right, I'm ready to draft right now. I'm going to keep the funds in my Underdog and try and hold off on football because I love the basketball so much. Yeah. We'll see. We also have another basketball league in the midst of a playoff run. One I try not to talk about much because it hasn't gone my way. Hasn't gone my way since draft night, but I believe I beat Adam Pfeiffer in the first round of the consolation round. So why don't you go in and provide us on the update on where we're at in the listener league?
Sure. Yeah, it's been a while since we touched on the listener league on the podcast. And I think, Joe, for good reason, because this was a wire-to-wire regular season, just dominant performance by yours truly. 127-49-4 on the season. So the one seed got a bye in the first round. So first round matchups, which finished up on Sunday. In the winner's bracket, it was Phil took down Jay Crow, who Jay Crow owes me, I believe, a one-night stay at his He's got like an Airbnb, a farm. He's got some donkeys out there. It's in Central Texas. So we were talking about that preseason and made a bet. I was going to cover, I believe it was a full year subscription to FTN, the NBA package. If I finished above him, I got the free night stay out at his ranch out there. So looking forward to connecting back with Jay on that and collect my winnings. And as he said, preseason, go out there and meet his ass out on the ranch. So
and you know, with one of my biggest, arguably my biggest win of the year, coming against our co-host Adam Pfeiffer, it's only appropriate to bring him on.
There he is.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
The listener league that you have not paid attention to for how long?
That was the joke. I knew exactly what we were talking about.
Okay.
Well, Adam, yeah. So
good. I was going to make a joke about Cleveland giving up 131 to LA yesterday. But no, I'm good. Sorry for being late, but I'm here.
No, it's all good. After we talk about the so Zach's going to quick run through the rest of the listener league. It is a fun segment for us. So I'm excited to dive into it. But yes, update us on who's – we know you're contending, Zach. We know your team's really good.
Final Four, had a bye, you know.
Okay. So what about the other two?
Actually, we don't. I don't know.
I just wanted to ask Adam, if he wanted to – wait to come back, come on to the pod until we finish talking about this segment. But he can stay. He can take his beating here. First round of the consolation.
When you don't make the draft, and then when your team is drafted, and Damian Lillard, I believe, I would assume he was the top player that it auto-drafted for me, it's probably not going to be a good season.
All right, we'll say this. You know, you guys faced off in the first round of the consolation bracket last week. Combined 88 regular season wins compared to the 100.
To be fair,
yeah,
those 88 combined regular season wins are more than any NBA team has ever posted in a season. So I don't want to hear your slander.
That's a really good point.
You're right. So Joe prevailing 6-3 over Adam, knocking him out. Joe moves on to the consolation ladder. But the other half of the winner's bracket, obviously, like I said, Phil took out Jay 5-4. Very close matchup there. The other side, quarterfinal there, Kruggers taking down. Who is this? Phil? It's the juice. Oh, B. Stu. Brian, 7-2 in favor of Kruggers. So Kruggers moves on. So now semifinal round here. I'm taking on Phil and the Tatum Tots. Early 7-2 lead for your boy. And then Kruggers down there taking on Wayne. We know him as Whammy in the Discord. Early lead for Kruggers, 6-2-1. So this goes till Sunday the 27th, and then we'll have the championship round. And again, I guess if I make the championship, then we know the winner, because it's the highest finisher for the subs is going to win the free year of FTN premium NBA package for next season. So I guess one could say, I won't say that I have it locked up, but I'm feeling pretty good. So I think the championship is actually between Kruggers and Whammy here to see who gets they get a 7-day matchup with me for bragging rights and can take down the free year. So it's been fun. Obviously next year the idea was hatched 3 days before the season
started. 3 days before
so
the regular season started.
We drafted the Bills are on Monday Night Football.
Huge
Joe's
mistake.
Coming off on a plane.
Yeah.
So
I literally texted Joe, "Yo, when's our draft?" He goes, "Yeah,
it just ended
an hour ago."
Yeah. And let's not let Stefano off the hook. Because I think he was at the draft, and he had 50 wins. I think he was in the draft. I don't remember.
I think he was in the draft as
well. We're not going to let him off the hook, because whether he was at the draft or not, 50 wins, last in the baked beans division. Hopefully we have a better showing from the FTN employees next year and not just
everybody. I would also argue you are doing a disservice to our loyal subscribers by not giving him as fair of a shot as Adam and I and Stefano have been doing.
Hey, the prize is still going out, man.
Yeah, it's a good point.
The prize is
good
still point. Going out. And I'll, so again, just to brag on myself one more time, Joe, then we can move on. Only nine moves on the season. Hell of a draft.
Well, again, me and Adam set the record for most NBA wins in a season with probably less than a combined 9 moves, I would assume, right?
Yeah, so, six moves.
I mean, how did you have 9? Because I didn't have 1. That's for sure.
Well, and you
Adam,
mentioned
you did have 1.
Did I?
Zach,
oh,
you mentioned
I did.
Your disappointment in Stefano and his 50 win showing. Say it one more time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was here. I was told that like real basketball takes were needed. So I decided to hop on.
Well, let's get into it. Because, I mean, if we stay on the Listener League any longer, I think we'll lose what the 6 viewers that we probably have right now just from the mediocrity that you 3 are just oozing right now talking about this league. So, Joe, host us onward.
Yeah,
good to see you.
Yeah,
beautiful. What's up, boys?
What's up, man? Nets in 3 is back in the chat, everybody. Yeah. Still his name on StreamYard. Before, I know, Zach, I know you have a really fun Would You Rather segment that we have no idea what you're talking about, but I know we want to talk about LeBron quick.
Do we?
Zach, we were on, you know, us 3 were on the podcast last week, and Zach mm-hmm. said, go bet LeBron James to lead the NBA in regular season points per game.
It was plus 210 then?
Plus 210. He's now the favorite at plus 135 on FanDuel Sportsbook. Obviously, you can't bet mid-game. It reopened this morning plus 135 because he is leading the NBA in scoring now. And like you said, he knows exactly where he stands in the record book. He knows exactly how many points he needs to lead the league. I'm not going to say that's narrative-driven, but with someone like LeBron who was very in tune with this stuff, like plus 210 is a bet I wish I took, to be transparent. So, Adam, like, I just want your 2 cents on his performance in Cleveland last night before we move on to the Would You Rather segment.
I was like confused, like who to root for almost, even though I'm a Cavs fan. It's like, I don't, you know, I love LeBron's my favorite player ever. So it's like, but no, we talked about it a lot and we talk about it like on streams, you know, previewing games. It's like LeBron is always going to have the peripherals, but I agree with you guys. He clearly has made a little bit of more of an effort to score the ball more. And yeah, I mean, I didn't expect anything less really coming back to Cleveland. I'm just more like, I don't know why we're leading with LeBron when DJ Augustine literally pulled some Steph Curry shit in that game.
The reverse Tony Snell.
Yeah, what the hell was that? But no, LeBron's unbelievable. I would love to see him win the scoring title because, despite Cleveland losing to this team, they will not be winning any trophies this season, barring some crazy run.
They very well might not make it out of the play-in. Quick update before we move on. Jordan Poole, 26 points, hit his over. Warriors took the L to the Orlando Magic, unfortunately.
They lost.
I turned it off with like a minute left. I was trying to live bet the Warriors at like minus 102. So I'm very glad that FanDuel closed that line because I was going to take that.
they did. They lost 94-90. Just completely fell apart. They were outscored by 13 in the fourth quarter. So, Zach, I'm going to give you the floor here. You came in our chat this morning and said that you have some would you rathers you want to run by us. I don't know if these are not safe for work. I don't know what we're doing here, but take it away.
Well, I think they're probably not too raunchy here, but I think some interesting questions, just some NBA would you rathers. And I could definitely come up with some more fun ones as we go here, but these are purely just who would you rather have on your team going
Darius Garland.
And I tried to put him in one. I couldn't quite, because I knew that if I brought him into one, we wouldn't have as much, it wouldn't foster as much discussion.
Yeah, like so. You can't put Giannis or DeJounte or Durant or
yeah. I may have Garland. A Cleveland Cavalier in there, but it's not Darius Garland. So.
Is there a Bruce Brown or Giannis one? Because that was pretty easy.
That's a landslide.
Well, I'm not gonna give away the game here, but I don't really know how I want to structure in terms of like, you have these guys, like choosing between these guys for your team going forward, like, because there's obviously salary considerations, age considerations, yeah, yeah, et cetera. So I just kind of want to throw these out there loosely, not a ton of rules around it, and just discuss these would you rather questions. So The first one I'll throw out there is, would you rather have Jason Tatum or Devin Booker?
Starting off with a bang.
I'll go Jason Tatum. I don't think, I mean, Devin Booker has like really progressed, but like, I don't think he could do what Jason Tatum has done to the Nets. I'll say that. I mean, it just has like a biased Nets fan. Like, I mean, the game they played this year where like Tatum went for 50, like the game that they won in the playoffs against the Nets last year, right? He went for 50. Like, it seems like the only way the Celtics can beat the Nets is if Tatum goes for 50. I'm just going to throw that out there before everyone rides the Celtics bandwagon.
Doesn't he already have, like, what, the second most 50-point games in franchise history or something?
Something like that.
I'm just like, as amazing as a scorer as Devin Booker is, Jason Tatum, I think, has the – I would rather have Jason Tatum because I think he could reach that, like, top three or top five level in the NBA. And I don't think Devin Booker can. And that's like we're picking at straws here because I have Devin Booker is like the 12th or 11th best player in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
So it's like he's really good. But I don't think he has still the ceiling that Tatum has. And then if it was like just dead even, and this is kind of like a boomer take, but like Jason Tatum is like taller. So like at the end of the day, if they're like dead even and he can like guard one extra position, I'll take Jason Tatum.
Sure.
I think I would also take Tatum. One of my friends, Mike, who was on the podcast a couple weeks ago, posed a question: who would you rather start your franchise with, Jason Tatum or John Morant? And I think that's a similarly good question. I said John Morant very slightly, but I think I would take both of them over Devin Booker pretty clearly. I think Tatum's ceiling is still astronomically higher than Devin Booker's. And that's not to discount the progress Devin Booker's made both as a facilitator, like we've seen without Chris Paul, but also he's like, he came into the league as like a more pure scorer. He can come off screens, hit jump shots, and get to the rim. But no one really regard him as a decent defender. He's average at worst as an NBA defender now. But the thing is, Tatum also, like, Tatum's a very good defender. I don't think people see that part of his game. So I'm still leaning Jason Tatum, but it is, like Stefano said, we're picking straws here.
I will say if, like, the Celtics don't go kind of far – if they lose like the first round and Tatum's like not great and the Suns go on another run, I think it could flip flop and it just might be like, all right, my bias towards Tatum is just wrong. And like Devin Booker actually has the highest ceiling, but at the moment I'm still Tatum.
Sure. I mean, I think that would be what the, so they've made, the Boston has made two Eastern Conference Finals with Jason Tatum. One, they had Kyrie, one was in the bubble.
He's like 23 still too, right?
Yeah. He just turned 24. Yeah. He's really young. So
Booker's a little over a year older than Tatum is.
Booker's older than Tatum. Holy cow.
He's like 25 and a third, essentially.
The crazy part is that neither of them can guard me. So like the real
Adam, what are you saying?
Yeah, you guys pretty much said what I just think Tatum has a slightly higher ceiling. Like I think if you put, I mean, we saw Booker on some bad teams and they didn't do anything. Not saying that that means Booker's a bad player, but I think if you put Booker and Tatum both on a lottery team, I think Tatum probably does more with that team than Booker. By, again, it's there's a reason it was a great question. It's very close, but I do lean Tatum.
Zach, can I steal your thunder for the next one? Because I actually was asked this question at a basketball game last week. So it's like, this is a very fun topic. And I thought this was like such a good one. And Adam's going to like it too. Would you rather have Darius Garland or Shea?
I saw one on Twitter. It was four players. It was choose one. I think it was Fox, Garland, Shea. I forget who the fourth player was. It was obviously a point guard.
For me, I was the only one who had Garland. Everyone else,
I think I would go Garland.
I can't answer this.
I mean, for me, like, my big difference is we're seeing the massive progression in Garland this year.
He's had 20. I think he's had 20 and at least 10 assists in like 8 of his last 10. Not that SJ is a bad player, but I feel like we talk about this a lot, Zach. Like it feels like every week now, either like an elite player or a veteran player is like talking up Darius Garland. It was Steph Curry a lot last year.
Draymond
earlier in the year. Draymond. I think it was a coach that was talking about him the other day. Like he's he plays like he's better. Same with, like, again, I think he's a better player than Tyrese Maxey, but like Tyrese Maxey and Garland, they both play like they've been in the league for like 10 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think Shea, I mean, similar to how Darius Garland's on this great 20 and 10 run, Shea scored at least 30 points. And I don't know what they had, but that's my point. Like, he is quite literally the only player. Like, he was one of the only players on that team at the start of the season. But then you take out Lu Dort, you take out Josh Giddey. Like, no discredit to Trey Mann, but like, he wouldn't be chucking up 20 shots on any other team.
Zach's boy Poku stinks. Sorry.
The Garland thing,
no other team in the
too.
League is starting Olivier Saar at center. Like, it's real. I would want to make a more accurate assessment for me. I want to see Shea on a better team and how he leads that team, because Garland's led a very good team this year. So I'm going.
That's Garland. A big thing with it, right? Is that he's doing what he's doing younger and on a much better team.
And it's not even like Cleveland obviously has much better players, but they've probably been, I want to say, if not one of the most injury plagued teams in basketball. So it's
they,
like,
also weren't supposed to be good this year.
Yeah.
No, they weren't. True.
Yeah. And the Garland thing's interesting too, because I remember when he was coming into the league, he got like some Damian Lillard comps coming out. And I immediately was like, come on, like, no. But you've seen it this year. And he's probably a better facilitator than Dame. I'm not saying he's going to be a better scorer, but that ceiling is there. I wish I could remember who that fourth point guard was, because I think we'd all agree Garland's past Fox. Obviously had a slow start this season. He's been good lately. I forget
it wasn't
who the fourth player
was.
It could have been Halliburton. I still would lean Garland. But, yeah, it's obviously a young point guard.
Halliburton's not ready yet. Was it Cade? Could it have been Cade?
No, it wasn't Cade. It wasn't a rookie.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try to find it, because it was for me, it was close. Other than this point guard had to have made it close, because I thought it was interesting. I'll try to find it.
The other thing about like Shea, this is like not a great basketball take, but I don't care. His shot goes in, but it's so ugly.
It's so ugly. It's so ugly.
And like
he's taken a big step back this year.
I know,
a huge step back.
It's gross, and it's like it looks worse too. And like, I feel like it's like not really like obviously it's not improving, because it's like he's taking a step back this year, but like, I feel like it's not going to improve. So I'm a little like worried about Shea.
I don't think he's a 30. I think he's like 30% from three this year on like 5-ish attempts a game. I think I was looking at his b-ball ref earlier today, and he was like 40-something% last year. He didn't play much last year.
Oh man. The fourth guard was DeJounte.
Okay, so this will lead us into the next one. All right, if it's all right with you guys, we'll go to the next one. Would you rather DeJounte Murray or Donovan Mitchell? They're separated by like 10 days in age.
That's really tough, because Donovan Mitchell has been the alpha of a contender for 3 years now.
And we've seen Donovan Mitchell absolutely dominate in the postseason too.
Correct. Mm-hmm. That series with him against Jamal Murray was some of the best basketball I've
played. I don't think DeJounte could do that.
No.
DeJounte can't go out and get different things though.
So yeah, DeJounte can give you like 18, 12, and 10 in a playoff series or whatever.
Also much better.
Maybe not a series, but in a game. But like, if you backs against the wall, like, Donovan Mitchell can go get you 40.
That's really tough. Like,
but I love DeJounte as a player so much.
I do think I think my answer is Donovan Mitchell. But that's really
What'd you say the difference in age was, Zach?
It's like 10 days.
Oh wow.
Yeah, they're
He's
like
10 days younger.
The same age. Yeah. That's the decider. DeJounte, 12 days younger officially. I mean, I think for me, and again, biased, this is just like with Adam, like, it's really hard for me to not say DeJounte here. The argument would be the two-way prowess of a guy like DeJounte Murray, not just individual matchups, team defense, being able to switch on 1-4, really, leads the league in steals, right? And the fact that he's been able to be serviceable from three this year. I mean, he shoots one less three per game than Shea, and at a higher clip, 32%. So, like, I don't know.
I think I would take DeJounte. The more I think about it, I think I would take him.
I think, and this is like the one that I thought was the best one coming into the day, and I'll ask later. This one is very close to that in terms of like just how close it is. I love both these guys. And I said to one of my buddies, I think last summer, maybe the summer before, that I think Donovan Mitchell will win an NBA title. It may not be with the Jazz, but I think he's that good that he can be a 1B on a championship team. That's, so like this, yeah, go ahead, Joe.
My deciding factor is, again, we haven't seen DeJounte in the playoffs, mm-hmm, but I think my deciding factor is the fact that like Donovan Mitchell has proven himself to be one of the best postseason players in the NBA already. Mm-hmm. And that's, at the end of the day, if you make the playoffs, that's what you need. That's the most important.
I'm flip-flopping hard here.
This is a really, really good one.
Like, who would I rather have in game seven? Like, I'd rather have Donovan Mitchell. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then, like, I can't, it's hard for me to, like, if I say that, it's hard for me to be like, yeah, I think I'd rather build around DeJounte, though. But then, like, I don't know.
And it's also, you get more granular, like, who would you rather have taking a shot for you in game seven? Donovan Mitchell. But if you need to get a stop against a guard in a game seven, like, yeah, I would very clearly lean DeJounte. So that's well, tough.
DJ's been so, and like, I think part of it is too, we haven't seen like this window of DJ being a legit.
Yeah, there's bias here. Yeah, 100%.
And also, Joe, to be fair, if you want a player for the last shot in a game seven, it's not DeJounte Murray, it's Keldon Johnson. So,
hey, exactly. Man's been scoring the ball.
I mean, now that I think about it, the real answer is Cam Thomas.
This guy dropped 38, and I don't know if he's played since.
I almost did one of the questions was almost Bones Highlander, Cam Thomas.
Yeah.
But let's go to the next one.
Cam Johnson,
here.
Not Cam Thomas. My apologies. Yeah, go ahead.
I think this one may be unanimous or a 3-1 here because of some fandom bias, but I think it's closer than you may initially think when you sit there and really think about it. Would you rather DeAndre Ayton or Jared Allen?
This was the one that got brought up in the same conversation that got nice. The Garland Shea one. I was Jared Allen. I was the only one who was Jared Allen.
Yep.
Everyone else wanted Ayton. I think Jared Allen's like really underrated.
I do too. I just think DeAndre Ayton is a bit more versatile.
Is he? Why?
And I also, but my concern with DeAndre Ayton though, like, and this might sound like a cop out, like, as a center, when you have your two best years by far with Chris Paul, I want to see you repeat that production with a different point guard.
I mean, yeah, we saw Bismack and we saw JaVale and we saw Jalen Smith before we get traded. Didn't miss a beat.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying DeAndre Ayton's not talented, but like, yeah, Jared Allen is more than just, you know, a pick and roll lob specialist. Like, he's got more touch at the rim than you think. He's anchored one of the better defensive teams in basketball. Ayton, I like Ayton. I think he's obvious. I think he's a better post player than Jared Allen, but
I don't think that matters, though.
Right, exactly. That's what I was getting at. In terms of fitting the offense, like, I think Jared Allen's better in his role slightly. I think he's better defensively. I mean, Jared Allen's, I was like, this has been just a breakout season for him. Like, he's always shown flashes, but I mean, Darius Garland's having an all-star season most likely regardless, but like, he's really, like, that two-man game has been just really good.
Here's what I think it really like comes down to. It's I'm picturing like a Kevin Love game seven sequence, right? Where he's switched on to Steph Curry. Cause that's how centers are going to get targeted in the playoffs, right? Who's got a better chance at defending a guard? And I think it's Jared Allen. I think DeAndre Ayton is just like,
really?
Like, he has no shot.
Oh yeah. 100%.
That's a good
take. That's
tough too.
Is really wait, close.
Was that the one you were, that's not the one you were talking about. That's like neck and neck with DJ and Donga.
No. But I think that's, it's another
also,
good
you
one.
Know what? There's going to be some bias here too. Like, not that DeAndre Ayton was the bad pick in that draft class, because there was one really, really bad pick. Yeah. But like, that was still not the best pick. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like
that was. I mean, DeAndre Ayton was at best the third best pick, not the first. Right? Like, you have like Luka and Trey, obviously better picks than him.
Yeah, definitely.
I think what doesn't help him either is he hasn't had the spotlight because it's been Booker and Paul.
Yeah.
Whereas Jared Allen kind of has had the spotlight. It's been Garland as, you know, the star, but Jared Allen's made the All-Star team. I mean, it's been an upstart Cleveland team.
And that's the thing. No one regarded DeAndre Ayton as an All-Star snub. this year.
If Ayton was on the Cavs, would the Cavs be the same? And if Jared Allen was on the Suns, would the Suns be the same? I would say the Suns would be exactly the same.
That's a good point.
And no, I think the Cavs.
And it's like, and it's like you can say, okay, one team is Chris Paul, but like Darius Garland is already one of the best facilitators in basketball. So he's not Chris Paul, but like it'd be, it's a similar offense really, except the Cavs don't have Devin Booker on the wing either. They have Isaac Okoro shooting like 46% from three the last couple weeks. Look out.
I have a good one. I came up with such a,
throw it out there, Joe. Like I'm all about these. I love these.
Wait, can I just say like Adam definitely had that stat in the back of his pocket. Was just waiting.
Been waiting for him to finally start hitting.
That's why
shots.
He was late for the podcast. That just makes so much sense. Now.
I'm gonna try to think of one too. Go ahead, Joe.
So this is a little more recency bias with how well a player is playing right now. But two very young wing players. Would you rather have Anthony Edwards or RJ Barrett?
That's a really good one.
I'd rather have Anthony Edwards. But I really like what RJ Barrett did this year.
I think it's very similar to
RJ Barrett playing amazing basketball.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, if Anthony Edwards, like, there's been games where I've watched Anthony Edwards, I'm just like, holy shit.
And there's also some games, to be fair, where it's like, where is Anthony Edwards?
Exactly. And that's the problem, right? But, like,
but there's also, like, the thing is, we have those games with RJ Barrett as well. But I think. And Zach,
yeah, we have seasons
this comment. Zach, you're gonna hate this comment.
Okay.
Anthony Edwards is a fucking hooper. Like he really is. Like it's the swagger, the attitude. Like he might be, basketball aside, he might be my favorite press conference in the NBA. Like he has all the confidence in the world. He knows that he can go out and drop. I think he can drop 50 on any team.
Definitely.
But I like, and he's also Anthony Edwards. Both him and RJ Barrett. But Anthony Edwards is a very good defender as well.
Yep.
I'm struggling to figure out which one. I'm leaning Anthony Edwards, but like what RJ Barrett has been doing for the last 2 months to even try and scrap the Knicks back has been some of the best basketball. Like you can argue he's had a top three or four second half in the NBA. And he continued. He had another, I think, I don't know if he had 30 tonight, but last I checked, he was at 28 against the Hawks.
Bro. He's got 28 points.
Oh wait,
he's taken 24 shots to do it and has 17 free throw attempts.
Yeah, that ain't great. That ain't great. And he's a minus
Edwards.
And 13 boards. But yeah, I mean, I lean Anthony Edwards, but I think RJ Barrett is closing that gap. The other player, I was just thinking of like wings and like Miles Bridges came to mind. I take both of them over Miles Bridges. But I do lean Anthony Edwards, but I think RJ Barrett is flashing a very, very bright future because he's really young.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I thought that's another good one. All right, we're going Homer real quick. This is a quick one. All right, would you rather Josh Primo?
Oh, we're Chris... really? Do people who listen even know who Josh Primo is?
I mean, what the hell are we
the
doing?
Diehards do. Chris, Josh Primo or Chris Duarte?
Give me Josh Primo. Duarte is like 37 years old. He doesn't pass the ball either. I don't know if like I've watched too many Pacers games this year. He legitimately doesn't pass the ball. Like he looks for a shot every single play, and like that's okay. But like sometimes it's like okay, like this isn't a great shot. You didn't need to do it like six straight possessions. I've watched maybe like 5 minutes of Josh Primo basketball. I'm still taking Josh Primo because he's like 17 years old. And I feel like he's in a better system where he can develop.
My issue with Chris Duarte, and I'm not like Chris Duarte's been serviceable this year. He's been decent for my dynasty team. But again, he's a 24-year-old rookie. Like the last 24-year-old rookie we really saw play well was Malcolm Brogdon. Is his ceiling much higher than we're seeing right now? Like he's shooting 43%, under 37% from three. Like I just don't like he's literally like to Steph's point, per 36 minutes, he's averaging under three assists a game as a wing. So I just don't think there's gonna be levels of his game that evolve much more. I think what we see is what we kind of get with Chris Duarte right now. Mm-hmm. And I lean Primo as well.
I just thought of one.
Go ahead, Adam.
I was going to I'm going to move on. So go ahead if you finish.
I was going to say he had that run, right? Where like the Pacers were like super hurt, right? This is before the Sabonis trade.
Yeah.
Where, beginning like, of the season,
like,
right?
Yeah. I was like, oh, this guy might be like really, really good. Yeah. And like,
it was all based on opportunity though.
Yeah. But like, he was like, he wasn't missing, right? It was like, oh shit. Like, he might be really good. And then like, he's not that great.
Hold on. Did you guys see what Trae Young did to ice the game in Madison Square Garden?
No. Pull it up.
Dear Lord. He snatched one. You get Taj Gibson as a mismatch on the perimeter. He just snatched his ankles, hit the long two to seal the game with a minute left.
Yeah, the top like eight tweets on my timeline are all filthy. Just, oh my God, Trae.
Holy shit.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well.
And the thing, that's like,
a tough break there, Taj.
I mean, Taj Gibson has to retire.
I mean, he should have retired already.
Yeah, what?
Tibbs just keeps giving him them checks.
All right. I mean, Zach, I have one real quick. Nuts. And this one, I obviously want the opinion of everyone here because I don't know if this is a like an easy one, like a bad one, because more recency bias, one player is coming off an awesome game and the other player hasn't played. But you have Tyrese Maxey and Anfernee Simons.
I love Anfernee Simons.
So no, okay, I mean, okay, wait. We're gonna pause Anfernee for a second. Simons Stefano, you and I are in lockstep. It's only because Anfernee Simons has made us just a shitload of money this year.
And the Sixers stink. Fuck them.
Clip that.
Anthony turns off the stream.
This is why we need to get Steph off the couch more often. That's tough. Like, the prop profits aside, like, I think Anfernee Simons has a future in this league. I think he's very
good. Does he?
It's going to be like, he's very, very, very good.
Hot take.
Yeah.
Scorching right there.
I've also really liked Tyrese Maxey all season, and obviously, particularly after the James Harden trade. Like, he's more of a product of their floor spacing now, but he's being a primary beneficiary of it. Like, Tyrese Maxey's been great this year. I think if we see one more year, I mean, the thing is, they're both so young. I can't say we need to see one more year of Anfernee Simons because we've seen this, what? We've seen 30 games now of Anfernee Simons.
Just, I mean, Tyrese Maxey, like, I think we'd all agree Ja probably still wins, but like, Ja Morant, Garland, and Maxey should be the three most improved players finalists.
I would put Miles Bridges over Tyrese Maxey.
Maxey passed, in my opinion. That's just me, though.
Interesting.
But like, he's shooting like absurdly high from three, especially since Harden got there.
Yeah.
Like, he's hitting, like you saw yesterday, he's hitting these step back threes over Tyler Hero. Like, I don't know if that's sustainable, but like, it just shows like he can, and he honestly might be the fastest player in basketball already. Like,
because Markelle Fultz can't stay healthy. I agree.
I don't know. I don't know my answer. I think I lean
Tyrese Maxey, but that is a very good one.
Yeah, I think I would also take Maxey. Obviously, Simons has been a revelation Simons this year for Portland. Like, I think he's part of the reason why they felt okay to kind of blow it up, right? But yeah, Maxey, to me, the ceiling is just a little bit higher there.
Is it why, though? Like, that's the thing I don't get. Like, I like Maxey a lot, by the way. But, like, mm-hmm. I mean, Anfernee Simons is, like, young. He's super, super young. And, like, he's got, like, a 40, like...
Maxey's a year younger.
Yeah, but, like, in terms of, like, NBA years, too, like, Simons came into the NBA, like, too early, right? So he, like, basically didn't play for, like, a year and a half. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's what? He has, like, a 44-inch vertical, something like that, and doesn't really miss. And, like, you're watching him, like, I mean, the run that he went on where he, like, scored, like, 25, like, plus points a game for, like, 2 weeks straight, that's what Joe was talking to, right? We just, like, laddered him every single day, like, every single time they played because, like FanDuel and, like, every single sportsbook put him at, like, his like, prop line was starting at, like, 18 and a half.
And then, like, it got to 22 or something.
Like 22 and a half was, like, the highest I ever got to. And it was, like, this dude's, like, taking 25 shots. Well, he's, like, taking, like, 20 shots a game, going, like, 12 of 20 every single game, like, pretty efficiently on a team that's, like, terrible. And, like, he's kind of getting doubled, and he's still kind of efficient, still scoring, still getting by, dude. Like, I think every song is like someone to like really look out for next year. Like, if there's a, I'm not sure he'll be on like the first ticket, but like if you could like put in like a future for a most improved player of the year for next NBA season, I think that's like a really good candidate. Like, there's a chance this dude just kind of steps into that CJ McCollum role, but maybe slightly better. And compliment Dame pretty well. Like, he's, I really like Anthony Simons. Like, he doesn't really miss. Like, did you guys watch like that run at all? Like, or, like, where he was?
Yeah, no, dude. The thing is, I went to, so in the middle of that run, Portland came to Milwaukee and I watched, like, I was at the game and like, whether they threw both Pat Connaughton and Drew Holiday at him, like, he's a player, like you mentioned, he gets trapped now when he passes half court. The only thing that's kept him out of games has been these 40-point blowouts, but, like, he'll find a way to get around these defenders. He gets to – he's also very small, but he gets to the rim really well. He shoots really well, but, like –
he's, like, skinny, but he's also, like, not
that's, that's what I mean. That's what, that, no, that's what I mean. I'm not – I think he's, like, 6'3", 6'4", maybe?
I think he's, like, 6'5".
Is he 6'4"? He's like, a twig.
6'3".
He's 6'3".
But, like – to Stefano's point, like, you think a volume shooter like that shooting like 40% every game, like, he's shooting about 50% like with regularity. And for the shots, he's taking like 30-foot threes and they're just going in. It's nuts.
It's not a knock for me on Simons. I just think the ceiling's a little bit higher on Tyrese Maxey because I obviously, like, he's benefiting from playing alongside two future Hall of Famers. But I just think, like, what he could do on a team like Portland right now is, at worst, equal to what Anthony Simons has been
doing. I don't know about that, though. I was going to make that – I was like, basically going to make that same argument for Simons. I was like, I don't think Maxey would be as efficient as Simons is.
I mean, it's not like – I feel like we saw Anthony Simons just – like, his assist numbers to me were not impressive for how much he had the ball. I feel like Tyrese Maxey is bringing you more versatility on the offensive end. It's not
have
like
you've seen who he's playing with.
Yeah, but he's throwing dimes to CJ Ellaby. Like, yeah,
that man can't shoot. He's the third best shooter in this stream right now. So, yeah. Like, I mean, like, the Blazers are really bad. Like, really, really bad.
Okay. So sticking with the Blazers, the last one I have, Sadiq Bey or Josh Hart?
Sadiq Bey. It's not. I don't think it's that close.
I think it's actually a lot closer.
I think Sadiq Bey's ceiling is like substantially higher.
And I don't think Sadiq Bey's gonna ever hit that ceiling. But like, I think like at this point,
because
it took Josh Hart to play on a team with one other NBA player to score like have a massive scoring output. And I like Josh Hart a lot. Like, I love what he does. Hart, he's one of the best rebounding wings in the NBA. Solid defender, but Sadiq Bey, fair. Even if he didn't have that 51-point game, the answer would be Sadiq Bey for me.
Leave it to Sadiq Bey to score 51 in a game when he's the only NBA game and no one's talking about it.
What was he the only? Was he the first Piston to score 50?
Ever?
I think they said that the other night.
Really?
I think yeah.
Rip or Chauncey never had 50.
Oh, those guys didn't. Those guys put up huge scoring nights. Is this the reg?
To answer this, is this like who's better right now?
No, he's not. He Rip had a 51-point game. Jerry Stackhouse had 57. Yeah, there were a handful of them.
For the Josh Hart, Sadiq Bey question, is it like who would I rather have right now? Like, if I'm like a good team.
Yeah, sorry, it's not who you're like adding to build on a team. It's who you would rather have right now.
I'd rather have Josh Hart right now. Mm-hmm. It also would depend what team I am. If I'm the Thunder, I'd rather have Sadiq Bey.
Right.
If I'm the Nets, I'd much rather have Josh Hart.
That's the thing. I think they bring, like, if you're looking for Josh Hart, you're looking for...
For the Nets, you'd rather have Jared Allen, actually.
Defensive competition, peripheral production. Sadiq Bey is more, do you just want volume scoring right now? But Sadiq Bey is also a very good rebounder. Not necessarily Josh Hart, but he can hit the glass.
My answer on some of these may have changed if we were treating it as who do we want today.
Right.
Or to make a playoff run this
Okay,
year.
So that's what I thought. I thought it was today. So
no, the original question, Zach, you said was like, who would you rather build a franchise around, right?
Yeah, like who would you rather have going forward on your team?
Okay. So let's change back to that. We can get back on track with Zach.
Sure. So this is the one that really got me started the other day, and I'll shout out my boy Ian because we were discussing this after the Austin FC game the other day. A couple beers in.
Did you guys win?
We did not. We tied Seattle. But big. Seattle, one of the winningest franchises lose. In yeah. league history.
Didn't lose.
And that's always a good thing, especially for Austin FC, second worst team in the league last year. So this one, would you rather Ja Morant or LaMelo Ball?
Ja, it's not even close.
Yeah, it's Ja.
It's Ja for me too. I don't think it's – I really
get the hell out of here.
LaMelo Ball.
Why?
Absolutely LaMelo Ball. Because no. LaMelo Ball is going to have a much, much, much longer career than Ja Morant. When Ja Morant loses his athleticism, what the fuck is he going to do? He can't shoot.
Okay. Hold on. I wouldn't say he cannot shoot.
You're giving him the Derrick Rose curse?
I'm not cursing. I'm just saying, let's be realistic here. That guy, the guy attacks the rim with a ferocity that we haven't seen in, I don't know how long.
What's his length until he loses his athleticism? Because he's pretty young right now.
He's 22 right now.
It's a pretty widespread there. I mean, it could be like Derrick Rose. It could be a couple years. It could be when he's 30. But his longevity is nowhere near that of LaMelo's at this point, in my opinion. And LaMelo Ball does so much. I'd rather have Ja
for even if let's say he loses everything by age 30. I think the 6 years you get of him in his prime.
Yeah, here's a better way to put it. Would you rather have Ja for the next 7 years or LaMelo for the next nine?
Yeah,
Ja for
even make it LaMelo 15. Would you have LaMelo for the next 15 years or Ja for the next 7?
I was being conservative, saying nine. Steph's over here with 15.
So my thing with Ja too,
Zach, I know you like LaMelo a lot. LaMelo's awesome.
No, and this is not a slam on LaMelo, but for Ja Morant, yes, we know the foundation of his game is slashing, attacking the rim with aggressive fortitude. I think he's a much more aggressive attacker of the rim than Russell Westbrook was in his prime. That's how hard he attacks the rim. But I think we need to put a little more respect on just the jump across the board that Ja Morant has made.
Also, 34% from three is not terrible.
No, what I was going to say,
it's not good.
That's also 4% higher than last year on almost another attempt a game. He's upped his assists per game.
Yeah, he needs another 4% from three to match LaMelo, who's in his second
seed. There's not a shot in hell if LaMelo was on the Grizzlies right now, they'd be the second seed in the West. Not a chance.
I don't know about that. Because that
not a chance.
Dude, they're fucking 12-2 without Ja.
13-2.
They're better without Ja.
Whoa, okay.
Win percentage, you know what I'm saying. Though. You can't
for the people listening because I hear shit.
That's what I'm saying. You can't say that they lose. Ja goes out of the lineup.
No,
and they
I
suck.
Know, I know, I know. I think
LaMelo Ball's minutes are being limited right now.
It's also
17-8-8.
Yeah,
the massive.
That's a good point, but a lot of it is a lot of the minutes are. Earlier in the season it was Ish. A lot of the minutes. Being down earlier in the year was Ish Smith playing a lot, and then
listen, you can't beat out Ish Smith for playing time. I don't know.
Isaiah Thomas is playing 16 minutes a game now.
Yeah. That's James Borrego doing his fucking pop.
Actually, LaMelo just doesn't have a stamina.
He's playing Jacques Vaughn over Tony Parker. He's playing Ish Smith over LaMelo Ball. This is how this goes. And look at the shot chart. Shout out to Della. Look at the shot chart that he put in the Discord. And he puts it perfectly. He looks a lot like a struggling guard that plays for the Lakers, except he's better from three.
Except Russell Westbrook is 39 years old, and he was pretty incredible in his prime.
And for Ja
Morant is this is year one of his prime.
Russell Westbrook turned 33.
My argument with Ja Morant, look at
he's got 11 years until he turns 33.
Dude, look at LaMelo's shot chart and look at Ja's.
No, I get it, but look at Ja's shot chart. If it's so easy for him to attack, he's going to keep doing it. He's producing so well.
Right,
doing
but I'm saying the longevity
and you look at the
of
year
playing
year.
Like that.
For LaMelo doesn't have the stamina to play more than 30 minutes a game. That's what it, and you're talking about longevity. He can't even play 30 minutes a game.
I mean, a lot of it's fouls. LaMelo just can't stop fouling.
Yeah. He's too busy playing in Lithuania, and that's what happens if you don't play elite talent. And look at it.
All right, well, let's put a wager down. Let's put a little wager down right now. It can be a fucking lunch bet or whatever, and we'll come back to it in 6 years.
Okay, so we're going to account for 6 years of inflation, so this is going to be a $75 lunch bill here.
And all I'm going to be able to get is like 4-piece nuggets.
Right.
Are we including inflation?
Look, my thing is, LaMelo Ball will win an MVP in his career. John Morant will not.
I don't agree with that.
I don't agree.
I think John Morant should be in the conversation this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's actually bullshit that he's not a larger part of the MVP conversation this year.
Well, he's going to win most
improved. He can't be in the top three. He can't be in the top
three.
If you're fourth or fifth, guess who? You're fucking Joe Kim Noah.
Top three are Giannis, Jokic, and
Joe Kim Noah was fifth 1 year. Big fucking deal. If you're not in the top three, you're not. He went to the same high
school.
Zach,
he went to the same high school as me, so watch your fucking mouth. He's a fucking legend.
Delo says, shout out the U.S. economy one time. Look, this is the kind of discussion that I wanted these questions to spark, and I'm glad it did.
So throw my last one. What do you got?
Yeah, this is my last one that I had written down, and then I do have
a
couple.
Is this the big one, or was the last one?
No, that was the last one was the big one.
I have no hesitation relative to.
Well, because these John Morant fanboys that I'm in here with, I'm all on an island. I had to defend my boy LaMelo.
You sound like LeVar Ball.
Okay, I'm gonna clip this, send it to my boy Winky, and then he'll come on the next pod and he'll defend my stance here.
I like clip it and throw it on Twitter too. We need it.
Here's the last one. And this is assuming health really for both players. Would you rather, we'll say full health, Kawhi or Kevin Durant?
I mean, it's Kevin Durant. It's close. I mean, it's tough to say full health, even though like KD had his like injury issues too. It's tough.
It's Kevin Durant for me though.
Well, let's say
it's not like a wide margin, but it's Kevin Durant.
I don't know, man.
What's with all the Kevin Durant hate recently? Like, did you like talk to Alex? How is he number five?
Kevin Durant.
Like, how the hell is he number five on your ranking? That's like that's dumb. Like, you're too smart.
He's three on mine.
He should be like one. If he's not one, he should maybe be two. I don't know how he falls to three, but like five. And then Alex is like, he's barely in the top 10. What are you like?
I think that had to be a troll.
There's a huge difference between 5 and 10.
I mean, yes, but like he's
like the
be
difference
five.
Between Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant.
Who's how could you like?
Wow.
There's no one who can stop Kevin Durant. Like that is like factually correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, there's not a single person who can guard Kevin Durant.
Who's Kevin Durant stopping right now?
He's stopping more people than Jokic. He's stopping more people than Embiid. The Nets just clowned the Sixers, and they were making fun of Embiid because he was too slow. Kevin Durant literally said they were too slow, and we just beat them down in transition every single play, and they ran them out the gym. That's not happening to someone like Kevin Durant. Like Embiid, as amazing as he is, if a team goes positionless and is like able to like contain him offensively, that's like what we saw the Nets do in that one game. And again, this is a small sample size, but we saw it. Like they played like a traditional big, like 28-ish minutes, right? They got let everyone accumulate a ton of fouls, and then they just ran them out the gym. Like, that is going to be an issue for Joel Embiid. He can't be switched onto someone like Kevin Durant on the perimeter late in a Game 7, right? That's, like, my ultimate litmus test. In a Game 7 situation, if your guy gets switched onto him, can he make a play defensively? I don't think Joel Embiid can make that play against Kevin Durant. I do think Kevin Durant could make that play against Joel Embiid on the flip side defensively. The way the NBA is moving right now, as amazing as Jokic and Embiid are, like you can't prioritize bigs over someone like Kevin Durant who can guard five positions and can't be guarded. Like I would like if Kawhi was healthy, Kawhi would be over both Jokic and Embiid for me. And like, it's not very close. Like for the same reasons why Kevin Durant is.
See, if Kawhi were fully healthy, I think
if Kawhi's healthy, the conversation is KD or Kawhi the best player in the NBA. It's not Jokic or Embiid. Like, I don't.
And we're not talking about Giannis, who is right now the best player in the NBA.
Giannis is in the conversation, too. I'm sorry. I'm trying to prove the point. Like, Giannis is ahead of Jokic and Embiid for me, too. I'm just trying to prove the point. Like, why the hell all this KD slander when this man is just getting buckets nonstop and just makes the game look so easy and, like, can't be guarded? and can guard five positions. Like, everyone's like, he's a terrible defender. He's not that terrible a defender. He might not give a shit. Yeah.
Who said he's a terrible defender?
Alex.
I mean, Zach kind of just hinted at it. Alex has been saying it.
Well, I'm just saying, I just think he's average at best.
Yeah, but I mean, during the playoffs last year, he was actually a plus defender, and it's like, it's kind of LeBron James syndrome, where like during the regular season, he's not a great defender, but it doesn't really matter. But like when it actually matters, and like the Warriors invented this style of basketball where like situational stops are more important than full game defense. Let your offense run, dominate offensively, and make the situational defensive stop. Kevin Durant is that exact type of player. And that's like the way that, that's the way the NBA is working. And like these bigs like Jokic and Embiid, again, they're amazing, but like they're not on that level and because of the current state of the NBA.
Getting back to, would you rather fully healthy Kawhi or KD? I would still Kawhi. Again, I just think he's, when he's healthy, and we saw it last year against the Jazz, he's unstoppable on both ends. And in terms of Kawhi and KD, back in the Western Conference, Kawhi got the better of him more often than not in the postseason. As far as like the discussion that we were having last week about who's the best player, I think like obviously you guys have the Nets, Bucks, like butting heads, rivalry, etc. Like I still think Giannis is the best player. Like even if Kawhi was healthy right now, I don't know if he's going as hard during the regular season to impress us enough to be in the zeitgeist enough to take that number one spot. Like I still think we would have Giannis, and like paying respect to what Giannis did last year still. And like, I don't, like I said to you on Twitter, I think I did, Steph, like KD being fifth for me is like one through seven is so close. And I guess I could throw, like, you could probably throw Steph out of that mix.
You can't have Luka ahead of KD though.
Dude, there is nobody in the game right now that controls a game for all 48 minutes like Luka Doncic does.
I disagree with that.
Well, so okay, give me a better example, because and this we went through this on the last pod, so I won't repeat all the games, but like go through Luka's playoff stats, man. Like I know they didn't win because again, he was going up against
KD's playoff stats against the Bucks, the team that eventually won
didn't it take KD 3 years to even make the fucking playoffs? He sure as hell wasn't going out there putting
the
up.
The NBA has changed a lot since KD was Luka's age.
The league has changed a lot?
Yeah, for sure. That benefits Luka 100%. And like I like Luka, but like you can't put him ahead of KD right now. It's just like you can't.
I'm talking about his playoff performances over his first two appearances. And again, they only played in two series. They didn't win. And I believe that was the same with KD.
He played the Clippers both series, right?
Yes.
Not just one. Okay.
Yes. And so, well, I'll do this again.
Luka's going to have his time. My point is Luka's going to have his time. He's not ahead of KD yet. He's not.
His time is already now. And his team.
I don't know if now is.
There's different levels of like now though. There's like now where he's a top 10 NBA player, which yes, and he's clearly like in his prime, and his time is now.
He's the top five NBA player. Yeah.
Luka's 42-7-9, 28-8-7, 13-10-10, 43-17-13, 38-9-9, 31-10-11, 39-7-7, 44-9-9, 42-8-14, 29-8-4. 46-7-14.
Correct.
That's his first two playoff series.
That's also a little bit of a product of that Dallas system too, where it is a one man show, which that's a credit to him. He pulls it off, and he's good enough to do that and deserves it. But like, there's not a ton of other people taking that like many shots on that Mavericks team.
There's plenty of other one man shows in the NBA playoffs, and nobody else.
Not to that extent. To that extent was the KD Bucks series where he was going 50 point triple doubles and almost beat the NBA champions by himself. I don't think Luka could have done that. he could not have taken the Bucks. He couldn't have taken that Nets team as far as KD took that.
You know who did do that? LeBron James.
LeBron, I think LeBron.
You're talking about the GOAT right now.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get that in.
Okay, here's one more before we head out. Prime Wilt Chamberlain in 2022 or Prime JaVale McGee during Wilt Chamberlain's era. Steph, I'll pass it to you.
It's Prime JaVale. It's not even close. I got another one. Matisse Thybulle.
Oh, God.
Or literally any pickup basketball player. Not in the NBA.
I'll take Aaron Kraft over Matisse Thybulle.
There we go.
Why are you hating on Thybulle?
He's so
Thybulle's an overrated defender. Look at how he defends. Oh, he gets steals. He runs into the back of defenders in transitions. If he doesn't foul, he gets away with a steal.
Sixers fans are starting to realize it's actually the tables are starting to turn. Now that like they have like they're like better, right? They got James Harden. Like you can see like Matisse Thybulle is just not very good.
I said they should have traded Thybulle and kept Curry for before the trade even.
No, it wasn't even that. The option was like it was either like the Nets wanted Thybulle or a first-round pick, and they decided the first-round pick. I'm glad the Nets chose a first-round pick.
Like, well, the Nets didn't have draft capital.
Even if it's a shitty first-round pick, I don't care.
Like, but he didn't have any draft capital anyway, so yeah.
He's not great. Like
I don't
like,
care I don't, if Ben well, Simmons hasn't played
he's like
yet.
This all-NBA defender. He's not.
It's also not like, the NFL. It's also not like the NFL where you have a shutdown corner that can drastically impact the game. Like, you can be a very good on-ball defender, but when teams are running so many screens and so many sets, it only means so much. So
yeah, there's a lot of switching in the NBA, all of that. Now,
he also stinks. That's just want to let that be clear. I don't know if my opinion was heard.
Was clear enough. All right, I have one more. But and this, if there's been one player that's proven me wrong over the last 18 months, or I'd say 12 months, not 18, of basketball, it's Reggie Jackson.
Okay.
Steph. I guess it's going to be anyone, the other person.
It's Steph Curry or Reggie Jackson.
There we go.
In all seriousness, right now, Reggie Jackson or Cole Anthony?
It's Cole Anthony.
I don't think it's as
who would I want to build my team around?
He said right now. Did you mean you
meant
right now?
No, I said right now.
That's your big one, Reggie Jackson.
No, I never said a big one. You keep talking about the Clippers and Magic here.
That's how you end the show right there.
Thanks, Joe.
Switch it. Here we go. Would you rather? Okay, no, like Jordan Poole or Cole Anthony is a very obvious one. It's Jordan Poole. Would you rather have Jordan Poole or Tyler Hero going forward? That's a much better one.
Tyler Hero is nice. That man can score.
He's
been really prof. I'm very biased here.
Should have been an all star. Should have been an all star.
We're all sitting here talking with our bankrolls. I feel.
Jordan Poole has also been very profitable.
I know they have been. They both have. Yeah, that was a nice hit today too. Tyler Hero, like he's someone else. Like, I don't know what sports are doing. They've been putting his points prop like 18 and a half for like 3 weeks. It's like the man's putting like he's like scoring like 26 a game in this stretch. It's like I'll keep taking it.
He can't guard
anyone. I mean, like I will say, like if I had to pick one,
saw it yesterday.
Yeah, it was bad. That's not a good. That's not good.
We didn't do any of the rookies. We need to do something with the rookies before we get out of here.
All right, throw a rookie one out there.
I don't know how to
It's hard because
it is hard because like you have like Mobley or Cade Cunningham. I feel like you would just lean towards the guard at all times, right?
100%.
The guy controlling the game more often.
Josh Giddey or Jalen Suggs.
Giddey.
I actually think it's Suggs. I think I don't know. I like Giddey a lot.
Oh, here I think I'm a better worried, like
I think a better get, is he just is he athletic enough? Is he gonna get athletic enough? I should say like to be like that good. I don't know, it's tough. I really like Josh Giddey.
I think Suggs a better comp would be Jalen Green versus Jalen Suggs. I think that's a better comp than Giddey versus Suggs.
I mean, I'm going with the same argument we made with a handful of other ones. Like, just you look at the ceiling and it's Jalen Green.
Jalen Green, yeah.
Jalen Green's been woefully.
I know Zach wants to strangle me right now because I didn't say Josh Giddey.
No. I was just thinking, I think I would take Giddey over both of those guys at this point.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking Giddey over Suggs. This recent stretch over the last couple weeks for Jalen Green has definitely been, mm-hmm. you know, a lot better.
Yeah.
But you want to talk about, I mean, we saw a stretch, like, obviously he's not Luka, but we saw a stretch where Josh Giddey was all the Thunder had, and he was posting triple doubles and he was really good.
Mm-hmm. But again, that just kind of goes back to the
exactly
Shea conversation, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you're given all the opportunity in the world with a bunch of G Leaguers.
And I don't know if
Stefano will drop 40.
I don't know if it's fair to throw Jalen Suggs into any of these because he got drafted into like the worst situation.
Yeah, he did.
And it would have been even like, imagine if Fultz comes back earlier than he did. And then it's even that more convoluted for the rest of the season. And Suggs has been on and off with his injuries. And like,
well,
maybe Michael Carter Williams had come back.
Well, and like, why is Terrence remember Ross drafting?
Why is he not on Cleveland?
Why remember was he not on draft day? Well, I don't think Orlando thought Jalen Suggs was going to follow them. I think they thought Toronto was going to take Jalen Suggs instead of Scotty Barnes.
That's a good one. Scotty Barnes or Josh Giddey?
Scotty Barnes.
Scotty.
Yeah, you got to take Scotty at this point.
Scotty Barnes, I would like him and Evan Mobley. You know, Mobley aside, because I don't want to get Adam hot and bothered here. I am like very impressed with how NBA ready Scotty Barnes looks and like has looked all season. Like he just looks so poised on the court.
It was like from night one.
Yeah.
But that was his whole thing going into the draft. Like he was like, he's an NBA body like from day one.
And he also like, he's going to compete. You know, when Nick Nurse, after they drafted him, Nick Nurse said, you know, we're going to have a very big role for him. And you know, when Nick Nurse says that, it means you're playing 41 minutes a night.
I mean, if you have a role for Nick Nurse, you're playing 32.
Unless you're Chris Boucher with a fully healthy rotation. Because that man's 29 and has peaked, and people still think he has a massive ceiling in this league. Well, that was fun. Stefano, thank you for joining. I know. So Zach, to clarify, I texted Steph middle of when you and I were talking, like, hey, are you busy? Like, come surprise Zach on stream. And it worked out.
Perfect timing.
So I appreciate you joining. We'll have to run the streams throughout the offseason back with the underdog.
I've got one. I want to keep this going because this man is not getting enough respect.
You go.
I don't even have the comp. I just want like, where'd you rank Kyrie Irving in your like in your list?
Top 10 player in the league.
I didn't get that far.
Top 10 player in the league.
I didn't get that far.
You can make the argument to me. You can make the argument Kyrie Irving is the second best scorer in basketball.
You can make the argument that like he's the best guard in basketball.
Yeah. Nobody, and I mean it, like, I have not seen anyone in the NBA right now that makes the game look so effortless the way Kyrie does. This guy has sat out for 3 months, plays once a week, and, okay, it's the Orlando Magic.
Easy to be fucking fresh when that happens.
It's also hard to, like, stay in rhythm, too, though.
But, like, this guy is just, like.
You just said that you could score 40 on the Magic, Steph.
I don't need to be in a rhythm. Don't put words in my mouth. I would probably score, like, 45.
So
what's your question, Steph? Is where do we rank him?
I don't really have a question. I just want to be like, I think people forgot how good.
I mean,
that's all I want.
You don't got to tell me about like Kyrie was amazing in Cleveland. He's whenever he's played. Brooklyn? He's been amazing. He's unbelievable.
The game that was like more impressive than the Orlando game was like the Charlotte game. Like I don't know if you guys watched it. Like
I don't watch Nets games willingly unless they play the Bucks.
I mean, it must have been like a good DFS game. I'd expect you guys to like tilt your teams. I don't know. But, like, that's what I do, at least. I just get frustrated.
I can't play.
It's true. It's true. But, like, that Charlotte game, I was just like, holy shit. Like, he's kind of back. And, like, this man is actually unguardable. Here's the one that's good. Kyrie or James Harden?
Kyrie. I don't even hesitate there either. Like, it's Kyrie by landslide for me. You want empty stats? Go get James Harden. You want
Zach hates Kyrie, help you so win? No, it's not going to – he's going to say James Harden.
No, I think I'd still take Kyrie, but it is worth mentioning that Kyrie, I think, pretty much, you know, alienated himself from Boston, et cetera, comes to Brooklyn, does his whole thing, and he ran James Harden out of town. By all accounts, like
I think he was a contributing factor.
I've heard very different stories on that from people.
Well, what was the different organization? Story?
Well, Stefano lives in Brooklyn and has all the inside sources, so I would.
Right, he's at practice, right? So
is the apparently, story? Essentially, like James Harden in practice, essentially James Harden and Kyrie Irving would play 1-on-1 every single time, and James Harden could not stop Kyrie, and Kyrie would just clown him every single time, and it's really frustrating.
Is that a direct quote from Ballsack Sports?
No, I was going to say, I know you're joking, right? Because that's literally from Ballsack Sports.
No.
Kendrick Perkins over here.
So James Harden did not like being in Brooklyn because he loves Daryl Morey. That's I'm like 100% believe that. And I think when he got traded to Brooklyn, it was like they were being there was like it was talked about like, okay, he might
there was
like
probably a plan for it. Yeah.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. So I don't think he was happy with Brooklyn. Then I think Kyrie 100% escalated the situation by like saying, okay, I'm not getting vaccinated, I'm not playing home games. That's a problem. But like James Harden worked his way out. And also like James Harden, like I think Kyrie would have been fine if James Harden stayed. I think James Harden wanted to leave because he was like, I don't want to wait for Kevin Durant. I don't want to wait for Kyrie to get vaccinated or whatever. But like that's more so on James Harden than everything else, because Kevin Durant was on the verge of coming back. And like if you're living in New York, you're kind of under the understanding that that law, it's like not trying to get political, but like it doesn't make a lot of sense with like what the current laws are in New York.
The fact that he can sit courtside probably can be fine.
And it's probably going to get
the visiting players can play.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So like there was all the momentum in the world leading. This was like this discussion was happening during the trade deadline, even when like Omer Khan was like kind of going crazy in New York, but it was like still expected, like, okay, he's probably going to end up being able to play home games eventually. Like that can't be the excuse. Like it doesn't add up because KD was ready to come back. Kyrie was like probably going to be back for the playoffs full time, but back right in the NBA.
I don't think it's an excuse.
It's definitely an excuse.
That's just the reality because it regardless
of like Kyrie didn't say like Kyrie didn't force James Harden out. James Harden said, I want to leave.
Right, because why would you when you were convinced by KD and Kyrie to come join them in Brooklyn, and then Kyrie won't do what he needs to do for the team to get on the court by getting the shot? He can always do that. He could play today, get the fucking shot that hundreds of millions of people have gotten. Get the shot. You're playing. You're going to win the championship. He decided to not do that.
I agree with that.
You can't say that James Harden is wrong by when KD gets hurt and Kyrie is willingly not playing, that he should have to harden that's breaking down as well, that he should have to carry the entire load. I completely understand
why he wanted
to.
But the point is he's not – but you're viewing it from the first part of the NBA season, right? Like there's a clear path to where like that's no longer going to be an issue. He basically needs to
wait 2 weeks
and
it's
not going to be an issue. Well, when KD was back like 2 weeks later. So there's a big part of it right there. So like him having to carry the entire team, like that was ending just like KD actually carries the team more so than James Harden. So he was ready to be like kind of that Robin to Batman right away, like instantly, right? And then you have like momentum towards Kyrie kind of returning, but at least he's playing away games. I don't know. Like you can make the same argument about Kyrie Irving forcing his way out of like teams.
Maybe I'm team oriented to a fault, but this is 100% it's 100% on Kyrie why he's not playing. I don't agree. Like obviously I'm not in New York and Texas.
I agree with that.
We have given a fuck about COVID this entire time.
But that's not the argument though. Like, I'm not saying that it's on the Nets or it's on James Harden that Kyrie's not playing. I'm just saying like you can't make the argument that Kyrie forced James Harden out of Brooklyn.
He's the
like, you can say like him. What? I don't think so. I don't think he was ever happy in Brooklyn.
It's tough to tell when those guys could only play 19 games together or whatever it was. But like, I don't know, man. Like, if we're on the like if me, Joe, and Adam are on the podcast and Joe can only do half of them, but he could not go play pickup ball on Tuesday nights and join the pod, like I would feel some type of way about that. And obviously this is at a much higher scale. There's so much more on the line, but just like there are things that there is that one simple thing that Kyrie could do. And then like, if he had done that and been the team guy that he should be, then, and James Harden forces his way out. Then we're not
talking
about
this. The thing is, James Harden didn't sign his extension before the season started, before we knew that Kyrie wasn't able to play. Like that to me is a very telling factor that he was considering leaving Brooklyn even before this whole situation kind of.
But you started. Don't think they knew that Kyrie wasn't vaccinated before the season? Before
no, we but we didn't know that he wasn't allowed to play. I mean, that's a fact. There wasn't regulation at the time saying like Kyrie Irving wasn't going to be allowed to play.
When did that come into play?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but I know during the like this was like right when last season kind of ended. Like there was a lot of like talk. Like okay,
but wasn't it? Wasn't it not before the season?
Yeah, it wasn't
like that. Like we were. That's why we're talking about John Isaac and Andrew Wiggins and
no, but Kyrie wasn't allowed to play. I mean, there's a reason why we drafted. Like I had significant shares of Kyrie Irving in best ball, for example. Right? I had 21% because I was expecting him to play. It was before we were drafting best ball, so like this was like sometime during the summer, right? James Harden said, "I'm not going to sign a max contract until like I'll talk about it after the season or something like that." He wasn't willing to sign like the super max the Nets are offering. To me, that's a very telling sign that, like, okay, maybe he's not here. Maybe he doesn't love Brooklyn. That's, like, the biggest factor for me. And so, like, sure, did all these smaller points escalate to him, like, saying, like, okay, I definitely want to leave? Yeah, potentially. And I'm sure Kyrie not getting vaccinated is a part of it. But, like, the initial thought, the very first thought, do I want to be a Net for the next four years, right? Where the Supermax is 5 years, right? The next 5 years or even a three-year max, right? James Harden said no. And like because the NBA has a salary cap, right? He couldn't have made any more money on any other team. He was basically taking a pay cut to not sign that contract.
Yeah.
What
There's
is
plenty
what
of
is,
other star players that don't sign the max contract.
What does that doesn't signify that you want to be a part of, like, that you're dying to be a part of this organization.
Right, but neither does not getting the shot and sitting out the whole season.
But one happened before the other.
But it's the same. Harden could have signed his extension before the season, and Kyrie could have gotten his shot in the middle of last season.
But you wouldn't be like it's not a. I think Kyrie should get his shot, but it's not a, like the legislation, right, was after that decision by James Harden, right? So if that legislation never happened and Kyrie was able to play home games, James Harden's opinion probably doesn't change. It's still the same situation. So the shot actually isn't impacting him signing that Supermax contract. That's how I view it.
I guess I would have to know what the deadline was to sign the extension to really know and know when the legislation was coming into play, etc.
The deadline's like in the middle of the season. Like he could have signed it whenever.
If the deadline's in the middle of the season, then he could have signed in the middle of the season. Maybe if Kyrie was playing.
Yeah, but he said he didn't want to. He wasn't going to sign it during the season, during the summer. He said he was going to enter free agency. So, like, what is that?
I do remember that.
Like, that's...
I think
Kyrie played a factor in this all, but I don't think James Harden ever really wanted to be a part of... I take that back. I think he was...
Didn't he force his way there?
No, I think he wanted to go to the Sixers because they were a part of the conversations too.
He said in his introductory press conference with Philadelphia, and I mean, I feel like he would say this. He said,
"Yeah, of course."
He said his first choice was Philly. Yeah,
of course.
But it was one B at worst with Brooklyn. Yeah. So it was obviously one of the two teams he wanted to go to.
Yeah. I will say also, I don't know what the Rockets were doing. Like, I don't know how you don't take Ben Simmons with like not keeping Caris LeVert and just basically not having anyone and having four kind of shitty first round picks, but.
Or just taking Jared Allen back in the day.
Or just taking Jared Allen
back. I'm okay with what the Rockets are doing because that's two units on their under 27 and a half wins. I'll take it.
Yeah. that's another story. But, like, to me, it was very clear that, one, like I said before, Kyrie was just dominating James Harden in practice every single day. And, you know, that's facts. Don't listen to what Twitter is telling you.
Yes.
But, like, that was like my whole thing. And that's like, I've had this very long conversation with people, by the way. So it's like, it's kind of like, it's funny that you're bringing it up because like, I was kind of on the Zach side right when this was happening. Right. And I was like, if Kyrie just took the shot, whatever. And then like having heard like a lot of people talk, like it kind of changed my opinion where it's like, yeah, I think a crucial part of that is like, he didn't commit to the Nets when he could have. And like, he didn't seem like he was willing to commit to the Nets either. And like the part that I don't know, and like this is maybe like, first off, I trust Sean Marks. I think Sean Marks has done like a really great job with like the Nets considering where they were.
Absolutely.
He maybe had a read on it too and was like, and maybe that started during the summer as well, where it's like, I don't know. And like not saying that like Kyrie wasn't a part of it, but like it seemed like there was a lot going on. The beginning of the season also was kind of weird too with James Harden, where he was just like, I don't want to like test my hamstring. It was just strange. It wasn't like he was doing anything wrong. It never felt right this year. Like it felt really good when he first came to the Nets last year, right? Those couple games, right, where like they played together. I think everyone was like, oh, this actually is gonna work. But like that, change, and it's like kind of, it's kind of bullshit because like the team that benefited from it was a team that purposely started it and injured one of the Nets players, and this quote unquote best player in the NBA stuck out his leg and sprained a key player on the Nets' ankle right after they must have like given like the Nets like water, spiked the Nets water with like some like dehydration pill.
That is there a full James moon in New York right now or something?
And so there's this is actually a bigger conspiracy.
Steph's
that we're
greatest
not
hits
about.
Right now.
Yeah, we're
there's a greater conspiracy that we're not talking about. So if we really want to break down the James Harden situation, we could blame the Bucks for cheating.
So you can blame Giannis, and that stems back to Greece and why you think the U.S. should go to war with Greece. Okay, this all makes sense now. Got it.
Yeah, I mean, the economy failed, probably.
Okay.
Steph, this is a theory that I can 100% get behind because I lived through that too. Sure. Fuck yeah. Zaza Pachulia.
And then Kawhi.
This is a little fucking different. Come
on
now.
You
want
to go to war with Greece? Let's throw in the Republic of Georgia there too, because I'm all about taking out Zaza Pachulia.
And look what happened. Kawhi hurts his ankle. He's gone. He's like, I'm out of here.
Maybe you're
did, the Warriors, did the Warriors win a ring this that year?
Yeah.
I think it was. Is that year one?
So is the key to winning a ring just hurting the other team's best player? You never know.
Oh, wait, no. Oh, no. That was Cavs year.
You're right. That was Cavs 3-1 year, wasn't it?
Yeah, because Duncan played another year. They lost
not
to the Thunder.
Not 3-1 year. Yeah.
And right. Then the next year was Kawhi and Aldridge, and they, you know, they were just up 25 in game one on the Warriors. That's it.
Well,
you know,
that was fun. That was eventful. That was fun.
Last question.
Oh, dear Lord.
Zach, do your opinions on Kyrie, like as like a basketball player, are they impacted by like your feelings as him as a person?
I hope not. I try.
I think they are.
That's probably fair, especially after the last 20 minutes. But I mean, I still like I'm trolling you talking about I didn't go that far in the list and whatever. Like, he's a great player. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He hit one of the most famous shots in NBA history. He's clutch. His handle is unreal. His finishing ability is immaculate. Like, Kyrie's a fantastic player. He's just a fucking doofus.
But he's very good at basketball.
And that's fine. And yeah, you can be a doofus and be a Hall of Fame basketball player. There's plenty of them.
Dennis Rodman.
Adam, you still with us?
Yeah. just enjoying Steph's company, man.
I appreciate
me too, man. It's been too long.
Look what good things happen when Steph comes around. Mm-hmm. Not to tout his ego any higher than it is. But there's your second compliment of the year.
Are good things happening? Oh, I just got frustrated for the past hour. That's all that's
happening. That's what friends are for, man.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I appreciate you surprising us, Adam. I appreciate you for jumping on late. We'll have to run it back again for more best ball stream. Steph, we need you, but what we have to schedule is a pre-playoff stream when we have seeding set and just go through everything. Play-in, playoffs, you name it. But we will be back.
I kind of know what I'm going to do. I can do that right now if you want. I know the path. I know like who's going to come
out
and probably win the championship.
Okay, no, we don't need it. I think I have the power to mute you too. So this is great. but I don't know if we're going to be back this week. If we are, it'll be out Friday morning. If not, we'll be back next Tuesday night. As always, follow us all on Twitter. If you haven't subscribed to FTN, promo code FTNTV on any of the three sites gets you 15% off of every package. If you want to opt for the monthly route, it gives you 15% off of every month, not just the first month. Like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast on both Spotify and Apple. We will be back either late this week, early next week for Joe, for Adam, for Zach, and for Stefano. This is the FTN NBA Podcast. Have a good night.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam, Joe, and Zach. Make sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at APPfeiffer24, at JMets34, and at KawhiZenbergDFS. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.